Can I ask now quickly that we just move the order of business? So, because I've got to remove myself for item 25/21, we deal with that as the next item. So it's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Chan, that we have a change in order of the business. The next item of business be 25/21, and then we go to 24/21, and then 26 and 27, and so on. So I'll remove myself. So motion's been put. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. I'm going to hand over to Councillor Chan to now chair via Zoom, and I'll remove myself from the meeting.
Can the councillors to move the motion, please? Councillor Manor?
Hang on, I'll get
it. And can I have a seconder for that motion, please?
Thank you, I'll move it.
Thank you, I'm happy to second it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions regarding this particular motion? Councillors?
Hold on.
I just want to confirm that with our general manager. I got a question.
Through you, is it we are referring to item 24/21?
The VPA.
All right, okay, sorry.
All right. The question that I have for the acting GM is that this is not a planning matter they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And this is basically, we are trying to get an acceptance so that we can get the funding from the developers if one day the DA is being approved. Is that correct? And the money we're getting from the developers will be used to fund our amenities in Burwood. Is that correct? And if we reject this particular motion, then we will be losing out of this particular amount of over $1 million to fund our amenity projects. Even by then, the DA is being approved by, let's say, whatever authority. Is that correct or not? Brooke?
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I understand that is correct, and I'll just seek clarification from Mr. Porter.
No, it is, Acting GM, you're absolutely right. This is a VPA to seek contribution for additional bonus floor space developments. The actual development application will be assessed and considered by the Burwood Local Planning Panel.
So is there any other questions from the councillors? If there's none, then we can put it to our...
Yeah, board. Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, my question is, whenever we undertake such exercise of referring to additional floor space or floor area or level, the question is, how do we assess the implications and impacts of that decision so that we arrive on this conclusion that, okay, we are getting this much of money for which we can use it for our amenities, but what are its social, economic, and multifarious implications which every decision has? How do you arrive at this? Like, for example, if I ask you through you that what is the total number of traffic number, for example, which pass through our Burwood area, for example? What is that number we have? What is the total surface area of our roads, what we have in the present, and if I assume that this floor space will be used, what will be its impact on it by keeping in mind? Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
I think Councillor Dix, as I mentioned, right, and it's been confirmed by Dylan and also the Deputy General Manager, is that this is not a planning matter, right? When you go to traffic and all the floor space usage and what can be included in the development, it's basically is a development application matter. All right, what we are trying to ascertain at this point in time is whether the amount that we got, the $1,022,000 is that the amount that we are supposed to get in exchange for the 585.5 meters squared. If that amount is the statutory amount that we're getting in from the developer, whoever that may be, for the additional floor space, all right, this is what we're designing here, we are not doing the development application. So when the development application application is in, and we have to deal with all the traffic and all the other, whatever they like to do with the floor space, there's another process, I think.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to know, Deputy Mayor, through you again, my question is, even if I'm endorsing it, for example, whether I'm taking a decision to support it or not to support it, so at least I would have some yardstick besides the money. Certainly we are getting it and we'll use it for the amenities. But are we giving too much against the money, what we are offering to the other party, or is it in the interest of the council, or we look at the money and they say, okay, we are getting the money and the amenities, we can do that? If that is a yardstick, I'm not sure.
Dylan, if correct me if I'm wrong, or Brooklyn, correct me if I'm wrong. Let's say in future, let's say the development application, right, does not allow that particular 585.5 square meter additional floor space to be approved, right? We will obviously be getting less money from the development. Am I correct there?
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, that is correct.
And if that is the case, right, the DA process is a separate process, right? So if the developer do not get approval for the 585.5 meter squares, we don't get that amount. But if they do get it, we get that amount that is being stipulated on my screen now. So Councillor Dix's concern should be dealt with in a later state, not tonight.
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, that is correct. Council doesn't have any role in determining development applications. So this is basically securing for council and the community the contribution that would be provided through to council should that additional those additional floor space be provided. And Mr. Porter also has an additional comment to make as well, if I can defer to him.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, and just to confirm, the bonus floor space policy specifically states that any application for additional floor space has to stand up on its own merits. This isn't a mechanism for additional floor space to be in any way purchased, which is why we have a very separate and very transparent process. And certainly there are examples very recently where development applications have been refused because they didn't stand up on that merit test, even though there was a VPA in place for a financial contribution. So we keep that mechanism very separate. The mechanism is there to I guess, capture that additional financial contribution, really to fund additional public benefit within the immediate local area, essentially to meet any additional demand on infrastructure, open space and other facilities that council might provide, created by that additional floor space provided.
Thank you. If there's no other questions from the councillors, we can put it to a vote. Any other questions?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'd just like to highlight that although this is not a DA, it is a VPA, which is a planning related matter. So we will need to just record a division in relation to the matter.
Yeah. Okay, then we can start from.
So if I could just, Deputy Mayor, I move the motion, right?
Yep.
I would like to support the motion, right? In relation to what Mr. Porter said, the provisions of the public facilities, this money is going to, for the benefit of our community. So I will strongly support this recommendation.
And Councillor Crichton?
Thank you. I second it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Councillor De Luca, I think he's.
Hey, I'm happy to vote in favour of the motion.
Councillor Dixit?
All good.
I'm also in favour, so I guess it is unanimous. We can ask the mayor to come back to.
Well, I'll put my hand up as a supporting the motion. Show of hands. For those that are not there.
Yep, we got it recorded as Recorded, yep. It's all four. Councillor Mena.
Okay. Recorded.
Okay, so we can move out and we get the mayor back in and we can continue with item 24/21. Is the mayor coming back?
We're just waiting for the mayor to return to the chair.
Oh.
Won't be long.
Yes, 24/21. Any question? Motion first. Been moved by Councillor Crichton.
I do have a question.
Yep, seconded by Councillor Manor. Question?
Thank you, I do. Just in reviewing the policy, I just had a little concern about under page 108, section 8, B. Councillors are permitted to access any public areas, the councillors' suite, etc.
We're on the hoarding policy, 24 slash.
Oh, my goodness, I've got a point to make about that. Just 24
slash 21.
Thank you, sorry.
Are you still okay to move that?
Yes, I'm very, very happy to move that. Thank you. I'd just like to thank all the staff for the quick turnaround. We were only discussing this at the last meeting. And to have both of the hoarding policy and the public art policy turned around
first.
So quickly, just thank you. Thank you. No question. Thank you. I look forward to the review.
Can I suggest an addition? That we had a three before part four. That council staff hold a councillor's workshop showing example/order of the current policy. And then 4B, provide a report back to council providing the conclusion of the public exhibition period. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Any questions from any of the other councillors online? That council hold... The council staff hold a councillor's workshop. So council staff hold a councillor's workshop showing the example/order of the current policy. Examples. Because my question is with regards to the hoarding policy now to include site fencing, which I think Brooke's got some... which Brooke has, or the director has some examples. I just wanted to raise also the contribution we get via developments in the revised public art policy of 1% and lowering that to 10 million. I saw a number of those examples when we dealt with them at the planning committee, the regional planning committee. And it was quite odd because that 1% that's funded to public art is public art that's got to sit within the development. So it's actually not meeting. It's not really public art for me. So I know, in talking to the director today, there are a number of councils that have a similar policy, and that's why I've asked for the example slash audit. Because if that's not working and we can't take that funding and put it in a public pool to fund public art, maybe you only have it on the major developments then, or we make it specific to developments that have bland walls. So, you know, you go along Railway Parade, for example, there's a couple of developments that just have plain painted walls with maybe some features on the side. Maybe you do a big mural on that, like a public art mural on that, like they've done in some of the other cities, rather than the developer coming. I think we've got to make it a bit more specific to that, rather than the developer coming saying, okay, I ticked the box, I did a public art statement via my consultant, and we're going to put up a statue of, you know, the mayor in front of the building. And we consider that public art. And it's within a 6 or 7 or 8, 9 metre setback, which is fenced off, and technically no one sees it other than the residents of that building. So it's not really meeting, I think, the definition of public art, because it's not accessible to the whole public. Whereas if you had a blade wall on those developments, or, for example, the Burwood Plaza redevelopment, which is such a large space, over 15,000 square metres, and meets the criteria, then, and they've got a number of public squares within that development, then, yes, we include the public art sort of requirement in there, because you want those spaces to be active and have public art. But I think your average development, look, I think we had the example I'm giving you is the Binner development we dealt with in Clarence Street when we were dealing with the DA at the regional panel, which I think we were successful in changing the condition to allow them to contribute to the public art that they were going to provide, but allow it to be installed somewhere in Livingston Street or on that corner of Burwood Road and Livingston Street to make it public. Just check that condition. It wasn't, but whereas the original condition was to make it or have that public art in there. Okay, any other questions? It's been seconded by Councillor Manor. Any other speakers? Put the motion, all those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 26/21, interaction between council officials policy.
Just one query, thank you. Page 108.
I'm just going to ask for a motion first.
Oh, sorry, yep.
It's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers, question, Councillor Cry.
Thank you. I do have concerns. It's under point number 8. B, 8B,
page,
where it says councillors are permitted to access any public areas during office hours. It's the during office hours that concerns me, because a lot of the role of a councillor is actually undertaken on weekends, and I would like to be able to access our meeting room, our council room, on weekends if we've come to Burwood to attend a function. I think that that's quite important, particularly during the opening hours of the library. Not if the library wasn't open, but just to be able to come in. Sometimes you've got, you know, time to spend between appointments, perhaps, or to refresh, or to just memails. I just think that's important as a councillor. Thank you, but thanks.
Maybe, yeah, I think I would say the executive and the councillors' areas should be accessible at all reasonable times. Maybe change that to reasonable times. I mean, public areas have to be in operate, because you can't go to the hub, for example, and access one of the rooms there when it's outside of office hours if it hasn't been booked. But I think the councillors should be permitted to access the councillors' offices and the executive area offices, like of where the councillors are located, at reasonable hours. I mean, you don't want to be accessing it at 2 a.m. because there's no H&S issue as well.
Yeah. No. That's right, but I'll just give you a quick example. I always collect my printed set of meeting papers, and so on Saturday, if I was down here and I couldn't get here on Friday, they'd be left in my pigeonhole. But under this policy, I don't actually have permission to access that space, and I want to be law-abiding. I don't want to...
Yep.
You know, it's just that. I think that may have just been an oversight by that wording. Thank you.
Okay, I think point taken, and yes. This is to go on exhibition, isn't it?
No, it's to adopt. So I just, look, I think we could change the wording. There would be work health safety. There's things like alarms, those sorts of things. If as suggested by the Mayor, I think it would be during reasonable pre-approved hours and what
they... I don't know about pre-approved, because sometimes you'll find... Councillors will be driving back from somewhere and think, you know what, I'll jump in and get my papers, and you just...
Mm.
But we've always had access to that councillor's area. It's a bit different now simply because you've got to walk through the library, I think. I think that's the issue, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll just call upon...
Which raises an OH&S issue.
Miss Whitmarsh.
Through the General Manager, if I may. If the wording is just reread again, the recommendation in page 108 is not precluding councillors from accessing the councillor area at any particular time. The qualification about during office hours relates only to the office of the executive assistant to the mayor and the councillors. So the councillors would still have open access to the area designated for them.
Oh, okay. So during office hours refers to the mayor and executive assistant to the mayor and councillors area. Okay.
Even though cross through that space to get there.
So. I think it's actually accessing the executive assistant. I think it's more not just about the office. I think it's about accessing her as well. Is that right? Or am I reading it wrong now? I think we're both reading it wrong, but. No? So I guess what the councillor is and myself are pretty much asking is if for some reason on a Sunday coming back from an event I decide to jump in and get some papers out of my office, or the councillor wants to get her business papers out of her pigeonhole, are they in breach of the policy?
No. Perhaps it would be helpful if we restructured that clause and put it in dot point form and make it clear that way. People don't get confused by where commas and brackets are.
So what we could do is actually just re-amend that to provide real clarity so that councillors can access the councillor space.
Yes.
And also it would be during the extended hours of operation because the access is via this main building as well. So if we can just pull out and separate that before we finalise that document.
Maybe in the policy outside of hours, you allow access to the Unity Play Store only for councillors, if you like, so you don't not walking. And you note in there that, I mean, there's cameras and everything now throughout the building, but you note in there that councillors, if accessing outside of hours, are only to proceed up the stairs into the councillor's area, so then it protects the council organisation from an OH&S issue. So if you make it specific, I think it then satisfies our insurer and our OH&S obligations, and the councillor still has access to their councillor's space.
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'd then like to just suggest we may make an additional point in the recommendations that council authorise the general manager to review the wording of that particular clause, which is Clause 8B, to enable councillors to access the council facilities during...
Not facilities, councillors' rooms.
Yep.
And mailboxes.
Yep.
So
who's that moved by?
Councillor? Manor and seconded by Councillor Chan. Are you happy with that amendment? Any speakers against? Councillor, you had a question?
I have a question, yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, one is just... addition, which I would request you through you, that the sections which are being referred normally in any policy document, I would suggest you and request you that it should be stated in a policy document. Like, we don't come from a legal background as such, you know. And especially for the new councillors, to really appreciate the policy document without that section, unless you refer back. And it becomes a... So I would first request you that, through you, Mr. Mayor, that those sections on all policy document as such should be stated in that.
Sorry, I missed the first part of the question.
Okay.
So whatever changes we're making should be referred to as a section in...
No. What I'm referring to, even when we refer to the local acts, like Local Government Act, for example, if it says Section 360 of Local Government Act...
Yes.
Now, I don't come from a legal background per se.
And, yes.
Right. So if that section is being stated in a paragraph, what comes from the Act, and then it continues, so it becomes easier for us to understand and appreciate it.
Okay.
That's my...
So give me an example, just for the staff. Mm-hmm. How would you have it different? Like, just give us an example, just so they can...
Simple is, if when we say Section 360 of this Local Act 1993, it's on page 108, for example, and then section is being stated under inverted commas, quoting, then it continues further.
I'd probably go one more.
Yes.
And probably suggest, in the past, when we had policies, because it's a policy, it's not part of the Act. I think there's a section under the Act that allows you to deal with policies, which you might want to quote. So it might be Section 103.2, which deals with council's policies regarding a number of things. So you might want to add a section in the report.
That you quote, you know.
Yeah, that where it refers to in the Act, for example. Though you've got a... So Brooke's got a section there. The other thing is, in the past where we've made changes to a policy, as the councillor has mentioned, we've noted that in the discussion section, but then you go to page, for example, 105 of the policy, which is page one technically of the policy, and you see down there where it's highlighted the date and content manager reference, we've actually highlighted the changes that have been made in the actual policy, so councillors can then refer to what parts have actually been changed.
May I respond to that, Mr. Mayor? This policy document has been completely rewritten and supersedes the other document in its entirety, so there is limited value in tackling that exercise. And if I may respond also on Councillor Dixit's comment about citing the reference from relevant legislation, it is actually comes down to us through the Code of Conduct. This is subordinate policy to the Code of Conduct. The Code of Conduct is mentioned certainly in the Local Government Act, but we are not regurgitating sections out of the Local Government Act because, in fact, that reference is a very brief one. It talks about the Code of Conduct being a model Code of Conduct, which Council has used as the basis for the Burwood Council Code of Conduct, which was last revised and updated and adopted by Council, if my memory serves me correctly, around August last year. And so where we are looking to create this subsequent subordinate policy, this is intended to add further value rather than to already in the code.
Point taken, but I think maybe just add that in the background next time, that maybe you can add that information, that because we have pretty much rewritten the policy and it precedes anything that was in the other one, maybe just add that section in there. Point taken, I know. And these are just suggestions. So, but in saying that, I think then, you know, what was pretty much just mentioned there, maybe just provide some of that in the background so councillor gets...
In the covering report.
Yeah.
I refer you back to the report that covers this.
And there are some sections in there. And there will be policies where we totally change and you can't highlight, because you'll be highlighting pages, I understand that. I'm giving the suggestion for possibly changes in other policies that we have where you might make some minor amendments or changes or paragraphs that we can highlight that, that's all. It's just make it easier to reference to. But maybe in the background, just add some of that and part of the reference of the Act if the councillor wants to go to the Act. Did you want to add some?
No, councillors...
Because the policy adds the... a part of the Act.
Yeah, we can certainly take that feedback and add in that additional background information and even links to relevant clauses within the Local Government Act so they're easily referenced and found. So we'll take that feedback on board and certainly look to incorporate where we can in future reports.
Yes, that's my request. The reason being that I want to avoid referring to interpretations.
Okay.
So that's only... if the text is there from this, so one is... one can refer to straight away, not interpretation.
Can I suggest maybe after the meeting, because we can have supper, maybe just give some examples if you like, and then that way if the staff get a better understanding as well. So that was moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Chan. Write a reply, Councillor Manner. Put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, declare that. Those against? No? Okay, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 27/21, investment report. Any questions? Moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, declare that carried also unanimously. The Build Local Traffic Committee report, being moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manner. Questions? Speakers for, speakers against, put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 10/21, answers to questions without notice are listed, and 11/21 is petitions that have been received. With the confidential item, if there's no questions to that, we can just put it without going into closed session. So is there any questions from councillors? No, so it's been moved. The recommendation's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour?
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
There's one question, I mean, just for me.
If you get to ask a question, we have to go into closed session. So let us put the motion and then ask the question after.
Oh, that's fine. That yeah? I can do it. That's all right.
So it's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Chan. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. There was no other... there being no further business. There's no further business, is there?
Questions with notice. I lodged to this afternoon. I just want to make sure they've been received, that's all. Questions... do I read them?
No, I think.
I think I've emailed them. I emailed them through to Fab, just about Transport New South Wales bus stops and cyclone temporary fencing they seem to have left behind. That's all. So I've lodged them.
Okay.
So thank you.
They're on the screen, okay. There being no further business, I declare the meeting closed at 8:20.